Amen. It is always a pleasure and a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I'm reminded of the Apostle Peter, according to Matthew, the 17th chapter, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Whenever the children of God assemble with one another in the house of God, it is good for us to be here. Amen. Because we didn't have to wake up this morning. But because of the goodness of God and the mercy and grace of God, He allowed us to see another day. And we should be thanking Him and praising His name and saying glory, hallelujah, because He gave us another chance. Amen. I would just like to thank the elders of this wonderful church for allowing me to be able to stand before you and to share with you a message from God's Word. I would just like to also thank Brother Carter as well, who's been preaching here for a number of years. And we appreciate the work and labor that he has been doing in the name of the Lord. And all of the brothers who have been working and sisters working together on a collective effort. I commend you, but I also encourage you. I want you to start inviting people to come to the house of the Lord. This week I've been inviting someone, and I'm going to continue to invite someone. We have a duty. We have a responsibility to share the gospel with others. And God expects us who are saved to reach out into the world and also into the community and share this good news to everybody who needs it. Amen. Because we all need it, right? You know, it's for the saved as well as the unsaved. So I want you to pray with me and let us pray together that God will continue to bless this church. I would like to see this church with members all the way up on the balcony. This house can be filled, but we must do the work. God already done his job. We have a responsibility to do our job. And I know that the Lord will bless us when we do what we're supposed to do. Because there is still power in the gospel, the word of God. And I'd like for you to turn with me to my text coming from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to thank all of the participants in the worship service. Our song leader, commend him for outstanding job that he's doing. Everybody needs to be encouraged in the Lord, from the song leader all the way up to the preacher and the elders. Amen. Amen. So let us continue to encourage one another and admonish one another in the Lord. And I'd like to also commend our brother who read the scripture reading and led us in prayer. Amen. So if you have 2 Corinthians, the chapter is 4. And I'm going to start with verse number 3 and read on down to verse number 7 just to save some time here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 through 7. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Based upon these scriptures, I would like to use for a subject today, send the light. The blessed gospel light. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Just a couple weeks ago, actually, this sermon topic came into my mind. And I thought I would bless the church through the word of God with this message. And I was thinking about the song that we sing, Send the Light, the blessed gospel light. And so, let us understand the importance of the gospel of Christ. First of all, the question should be, what is the gospel? The gospel of Christ is the story of the life of Christ. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And make sure you follow me in the scriptures. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." So Paul, who is the apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote this letter to the church at Corinth. And he said, "I declare," the word "declare" means "I proclaim" or "I make known unto you the gospel," he said, "which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." You see, every child of God must stand on the gospel. And you see, Paul didn't only preach the facts of the gospel, but Paul also preached the command of the gospel. Here we find that there are facts of the gospel, and the facts of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to become a child of God, you must believe that Jesus died. You must believe that he was buried. You must believe that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Amen. Now, let's find out a little bit more about this. Verse number 2, he says, "But which also ye are saved." You see, we are saved by the gospel. And according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 14, the Bible said we are called by the gospel. So God calls us through his word, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is not going to call you through some dream. God is not going to call you through some miraculous miracle. God is not going to call you through your own vision and input. The way that God calls us today is through his holy and divine word. the gospel of Jesus Christ. If he had not called you through his word, you have not been called. Because every Christian is called by the gospel. And that's why he says again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 15, and verse number 2, he says, by which also ye are saved if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You see, we are some who have believed in vain. But as long as the pure, genuine gospel is being preached, that is what going to save us. We are not going to be saved by the false doctrines and commandments of men. The only thing that will save us is the inerrant gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse number 3, he says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received. You see, Paul received the gospel of Christ from Jesus himself and from the Holy Spirit. So he said, as I received it, I'm going to deliver it unto you. You see, a lot of times people get upset with the mailman when he delivers the mail to us. It may be a letter that we don't want to open up and read. But don't get mad at the mailman. He's just delivering the mail. Are you with me? And you see, servants of God, all we are doing is delivering the message of God. God is going to hold me and everyone who get up and teach his word or preach his word, and we don't stay with the word. We're going to be held responsible. So Paul says, I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. You see, it was already prophesied that Christ will die for our sins. Even when you read the book of Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible tells us that a lamb will be slain. And that lamb is represent Christ. Christ is the Lamb of God. I heard John, while he was out there preaching on the banks of Jordan, and John saw Jesus coming unto him. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So Jesus came, he died for our sins. And he came to take away the sins of the world. That's your sin, and that's my sin, that's all of us sin. And the Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, for we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So I can't shake my little bony fist or finger at you, and you can't shake yours at me. Because we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So we need God's amazing grace. We need the righteousness of God. And the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, you see, we should not preach nothing else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentiles. So you see, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul? Because it is the power of God. You see, God don't have to use anything else. The way God used his power, it's through the saving source of the gospel. I'm so glad that one day I heard the word. I'm so glad that one day I believed the word. I'm so glad that one day I repented of my past sins. I'm so glad that one day I confess the sweetest name that ever been uttered by mankind. I'm so glad that one day I walked down the aisle and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And the preacher asked me for my confession. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? I said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then I was not saved right there, because you see, hear, believe, repent, confess, all of that lead us unto Christ, but it do not put us into Christ. The only thing that will put us into Christ and that will remove our filthy sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus authorized to preach the gospel, and in preaching the gospel, we must preach everything that is in the Bible, the Word of God, the New Testament, and he authorized that everybody who believes the gospel must be baptized. Amen. There's no other way out. Some of you may believe that you were saved before baptism. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. And one thing about me, you can ask me questions. Because when you stand on the truth, you don't have nothing to hide. You don't have to run from nobody. So if there are any questions after the worship service, you're welcome to ask me. Because I want to make sure you understand what the Bible is saying. I know there are a lot of popular preachers on the television. I know that there are so-called a lot of popular preachers on the radio and even on the internet, but we have to stay with the Word of God. Those preachers will be held accountable. And so will you. And no one in their right mind want to teach or preach something that is not in the Word of God. And so, who commanded us to preach the gospel? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Matthew 1st, chapter 28. I can quote this, but I'm going to read along with you in the scripture as well on some of these. Matthew chapter 28. Let's start with verse number 18. The Bible says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus received all power and he has all authority. Well, who gave him all power and all authority? God the Father. God the Father gave his Son Jesus all power and all authority to the church. You can read about it in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 21 on through verse 23. And then he says in verse number 19 here, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Some of your translations may say, make disciples of all nations. You see, the Lord wants us to teach and make disciples of some nation? No, all nations. Amen. Regardless of color or creed, the gospel is designed to save any and everybody. And then he said, after you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then that's not enough, because a lot of times, you know, we quick to get people in the water to be baptized and become saved, but there is a next lesson that is very important that we must maintain. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the world. Amen. You know, even the Bible says amen on that point. And so we must teach you to come to Christ, and you must continue to be taught to stay in Christ. You understand that? Teach you to come to Christ, continue to be taught to stay in Christ. Because all of the stuff that is going on in the world, you got to keep your composure. We need the house of the Lord. We need Christians that we can come together and fellowship with. After all the stuff that goes on the job, all of that mess going on, and even some mess that goes on in the home. Oh, yes. We come to the house of God. We ought to be thankful that we have an opportunity to hear the word of God. And then let's go to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. We're talking about who Jesus commissioned to go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Matthew says, all nations. Mark says, every creature. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, you just can't be saved by just believing. I don't care how educated these preachers are out there. They can know the Greek, they can know the Hebrew, but they must not know too much Greek if they don't understand what Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice the word and is a conjunction. In the word and, what it does, it joins two words together. And you can't have one without the other. So when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he didn't say just believe and you are saved. But you have to believe and be baptized after you have been taught right by the gospel. Amen. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. So we are commanded by Jesus to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, where should we send the blessed gospel light? All Christians should help in sending the light, the blessed gospel light, to all the lost and in every nation. Now I want to go to Acts chapter 8 in verse number 5. Acts chapter 8, and let's look at verse number 5. Let's find out what happened with the New Testament church in the Bible, what they did to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have that, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5. I want to start with verse number 4. The Bible says, verse number 4, the Bible says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They, talking about the church. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the church was sent out to preach, to teach the word. Amen. And you see, in the Lord's church, the Lord never ordained women to preach. Amen. He have left that in the hands of capable and able men to preach. You see, all the apostles that Jesus selected were men. And they were the one who was commanded to preach the gospel. I know some people that got smart and they try to say, well, Mary, he told Mary to go. No, he didn't tell Mary to go and preach the gospel. He just told Mary to go and tell the disciple that he rose from the dead. She wasn't preaching the gospel. Show me anywhere else that Mary preached the gospel to anyone else. You can't find it in the Bible. And that's why you can't go to one scripture, one text, and try to base that upon the Bible. Because it won't work. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So we must go, church. And then I want to share another scripture with you. Ephesians chapter 3. And the verse is number 10. Ephesians chapter 3. And the verse is number 10. The Bible says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see, God's church supposed to or must make known the manifold wisdom of God. God saved us so that we can save someone else. Think about that. He saved us so that we can save someone else. Amen. So, church, we must understand how important it is to get the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, out into the world. Amen. And I got a lot of notes. Normally in my sermons, I have series of sermons. But you see, the word gospel means a story concerning God. In the New Testament, the Greek word means good news. It proclaims tidings of deliverance. The word sometimes refers to the rucker or light story of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 1, embracing all of his doctrine or teaching, as in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. But the word gospel now has a peculiar use, which describes primarily the message which Christianity announces. Good news is its significance. The gospel is not only a message of God for salvation, but also the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. According to Romans 1 and verse number 16. In the New Testament, the gospel never means simply a book, but rather the message which Christ and his apostles preach. In some places, it is called the gospel of God. As for an example, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 2 and 9. Also 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 11. In others, it is called the gospel of Christ. Mark chapter 1 verse number 1. Romans 1 and verse number 16. Romans 15 and verse number 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 12 and 18. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 7. In another, it is called the gospel of grace. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. In another, the gospel of peace. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 15. In another, the gospel of your salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, in yet another, the glorious gospel, as in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Thanks be to God for the power that he has given us through his word. The gospel is Christ. He is the subject of it. He is the object of it, in the life of it. It was preached by Christ according to Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 23, Matthew 11 and verse number 5, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14, Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. It was preached by the apostles, Acts chapter 16 and verse number 10, Romans 1, 15, and 16, Romans chapter 2, verse number 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse number 16, and by the evangelist Philip, Acts chapter 8, and verse number 25. The gospel then is the message of God, the teaching of Christianity, the redemption in and by Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, offered to all mankind. The gospel is bound up in the life of Christ, his biography and record of his works and the proclamation of what he has to offer. The gospel is the good news. Am I right about it? Say amen if you can. The Christian message about the life and sacrificial death of Jesus Christ that brings salvation to all who believe and obey Christ's word. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which tells about Jesus as referred to us as the Gospels. The power is the gospel, the word of God. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the gospel. If we truly want to benefit from the word, we must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4, am I right about it? The Bible said that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, this word has power to save. It has power to deliver. It has power to heal, to instruct, protect, change, direct, convert, to cleanse. It has power to build up. It has power to strengthen us. It has power to help us to overcome, to be triumphant. Is there anybody that want to be triumphant today? The gospel has that power. The gospel is both good news and glad news from on high in heaven. The gospel is the truth of God revealed in Christ, who is the express image of the Father. The gospel is heaven welcome home to the outcast. The gospel is the message of hope to the despairing. The gospel is heaven's panacea for a sin-sick, devil-ridden world. The gospel is water to the thirsty and famishing for the famishing soul. The gospel is the living word from the living God to a dying man, that they might be saved and live. The gospel is heaven's light for a world of darkness. The gospel is God's warning judgment to rebellious, hard-hearted, and no repenting sinners. The gospel is heaven's invitation to hungry and starving souls for the Heavenly Father to the banquet table. Yes, I don't know about you, but I want to stay with the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel, it will cut even between the joint and marrows and bones. It is appealing and it is offensive. The gospel reaches into our innermost being when it is preached with power and show us our true and simple selves. Yes, I'm so glad that I know the gospel. You see, we must stay with the good book, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Then he said, in whom the God of this world, you see, Satan is the God of this world. Notice the God is in a small g. This is a reference to Satan himself. Satan is the God of this world. God owns the world, but he is the God of the world for those who dwell in darkness, in his sin. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The reason why you haven't obeyed the gospel, because Satan has blinded your mind. But you see, we are here to open up your mind through the light of God's word. And that's why we must send the light, the blessed gospel light. We must preach about this message and tell people that there is hope in the world. There's hope in your community. There's hope on your job. There's hope in your family life. Even though that chaos is there, there is hope in Jesus. Jesus can change your situation. Amen. But you must believe him. So the Bible says, let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God is shining his light today. He wants you to obey the gospel today. Are you ready to obey the gospel? As I said earlier, everybody who's a member of the Lord's church has to believe with all of their heart that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. After you believe, you must repent of your sins. Repentance is to turn from where you are and who you are and turn unto God, to turn to his word, the gospel of your salvation. Then after you repent, you must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the God. The Bible says in Romans 10, in verse number 10, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we must confess with our mouth. In Matthew chapter, Jesus talked about, whosoever confessed me before men, him would also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. So we must confess Christ before men. And after we confess him, that just brought us unto Christ. But remember, I said that you must get into Christ. And the only way that you can get into Christ, you must be baptized by water into Christ. And that's where you will contact the blood of Jesus Christ. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 22 and 27, the Bible said, for we are all the children of God by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So how do we put on Christ? We must be baptized into Christ. And when we are baptized into Christ in water, then the Lord will wash your sins away by his blood. I can't see the blood in the water, but it's there by faith. Because the Lord says that you must be baptized. And the way that we contact the blood of Jesus Christ is through watery baptism. You remember when Jesus was on the cross? And one of the Roman soldiers took a spear and pierced him in the side. And the Bible said, out came blood and water. You see, Jesus shed his blood in his death. So when we are baptized in Romans chapter 6, we contact Jesus Christ in the water. We are baptized, the Bible said, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. Buried with him by baptism into his death, according to Romans chapter 6. So anybody here today that needs to respond to the gospel, you heard the words. Now it's your responsibility to obey the words. If you obey the words, the Lord will add you to the church of Christ. And you must maintain in the teaching of Jesus Christ. You must maintain in the faith of Jesus Christ, because the Bible said we must be faithful unto death. And if we are faithful unto death, he will give us a crown, a life that would never pass away. Let us continue to do our part, church. Let us continue to invite people, invite everybody, anybody that we can. You know, Thanksgiving is coming around. We're going to be around family. We have some family members who are lost. We need to share the gospel with them. You know, if you really have the love of God in you, you can't help but to want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you know that God has done something for you. Living in this mean, terrible world. If God bless you and allow you to be in this house today, and we don't want to say anything for the Lord, every day of our life, it's a blessing to be able to get up and walk. It's a blessing to be able to talk. It's a blessing to be able to get up out of our bed. And we should be thanking the Lord each and every day for his blessing. And we should show our appreciation. Amen. Because nobody don't want to feel unappreciated. So what do you think about the Lord? Out of all the blessings that he gives us, we couldn't breathe without the Lord. The Bible said we move, we have our very existence in him. And so, let us do what the Lord called us to do. And I guarantee you, when we do what the Lord commands us to do, the Lord will open up the windows of heaven and bless us like we've never seen before. I believe it. Do you believe it? Let us start working. The Bible said, Jesus said, go in my vineyard and work. And whatsoever right, he said, will pay you. Jesus wants workers in the vineyard. And there is work to do for everybody. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Pray for me that the Lord would bless me, bless his word. Next week, if the Lord's willing, I will be preaching on the subject, upon Christ, the solid rock I stand. Upon Christ, the solid rock I stand. I want each and every one of you to get busy. Call people. Talk to them. Tell them, you must come and worship with me to hear the word of God. You know, it's nothing like leading somebody to Christ. It just makes you feel good to be able to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. And do you not know, we want the angels of heaven rejoicing, right? The Bible said the angel rejoiced over one sinner that repented the 99 just persons. God is concerned. The Bible said he would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. May God bless you. If you need to respond, why don't you come right now as we together stand and we sing the song of the church. I'm just trying to encourage you. We all can do better. All of us, even I can do better. And we must do better. Because I'm trying to go to heaven. And if we want to go to heaven, we got to do better. Amen. Let us sing.
Number 492.